People love to watch other people mixing it up with swords, so long as the combatants are fictional Hollywood swordsmen like Captain Jack Sparrow and the Highlander. But real-life competitive fencing is still trying to find its mass appeal. North Country Public Radio's Brian Mann, who just happens to be a sucker for those classic sword-fighting movies, decided to check out the real thing at the 15th annual Fort Ticonderoga Challenge last weekend in upstate New York, and he has this report.
Some kids grew up wanting to play for the Yankees, or they want to throw a winning touchdown for the Packers. I grew up wanting to be a swordsman.
The fencing master has met his equal.
Are you tiring, Diego?
That's Tyrone Powers and Basil Rathbone dancing and slashing in 1940s Mark of Zorro. Fencing is one of those sports that never really caught on in America as competition, but it's everywhere in our culture.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
You don't want to know how many hours I spent in the backyard pretending to be Luke Skywalker. So when I heard that fencers were holding an outdoor tournament at Fort Ticonderoga last weekend, I couldn't stay away.
Come one, come all, come young, come old. Good, the bad, the ugly.
Let's fence.
Let's fence.
That's Vivica Fox, not the Hollywood actress Vivica A. Fox, but a nationally respected fencing coach who's been organizing this regional competition for the last 15 years. People come from all over the Northeast and Canada to cross swords in the shadow of the fort's ominous stone walls. Fox shows me her own blade, which looks exactly like something Errol Flynn might draw.
So this is the épée, which is one of the three weapons used in modern competitive fencing. It's based on a sort of late 18th, early 19th century duel of honor. And so it's very appropriate for this 18th century fort to be fencing here.
Ready? Fence.
On a green field, dozens of fencers square off. Their white canvas dueling clothes flash in the morning sun. Blades dart and twist. The faces are hidden behind protective screen masks, but fencing is an intimate sport, a kind of conversation. Just like in one of those Hollywood duels, you can hear the swordsman talking trash.
Oh, man, I thought I got you on the arm. Did you feel it?
But there's also a lot of strategy, a lot of cagey maneuvering.
It's basically a defensive game rather than an offensive game.
Stan Crockett coaches fencing at the University of Vermont. In April, his women's épée team won the national title at the Collegiate Fencing Club Championship in Chicago. At this tournament, he's one of the most compelling fencers to watch. He lays back, watching, frustrating his opponent's attacks, then scores repeatedly with quick, flurrying stabs.
I was trying to see what he wanted to do and feel him out. Let him make mistakes and then play into his mistakes.
Some of the athletes move in quick, waltzing lunges, looking very formal, like the swordsmen in those old pirate movies. But others bob and dance like modern boxers. Zach Young is a fencer from Cornwall, Vermont. He's tall, lean, 16 years old, and already one of the most dangerous swordsmen in the region.
I think of my style, it's a lot of quick, simple, explosive actions. Like, you know, they see me kind of going back and forth with all these little patterns, and then suddenly you just flush, you know, which is this jumping attack.
Body type also shapes a fencer's style. Most fencers are tall, like Zach. When you're stabbing with a sword, a little extra reach can make all the difference. But Kate Dusenberry is a short, lean woman who coaches épée at the University of New Hampshire. She attacks by darting in and sort of violating her opponent's personal space.
I can also get in close, and once I'm here, if I can hit you here, you know, at a very close distance, your point's well over my shoulder. So you can use those, you know, what would be a negative, you can turn them into positives in almost everything.
Fort Ticonderoga sits high on a bluff over Lake Champlain. It was a pivot point for great armies during the French and Indian War and the American Revolution. Vivica Fox says duels have been fought here for centuries.
Almost certainly the French officers both practiced fencing and took out their differences that way.
The modern sport of épée started with gentlemen and officers poking holes in each other to sort out bragging rights over women or politics or family.
You weren't necessarily trying to kill your opponent. It's not a military confrontation. So it's just to prove your skill and your daring.
Later, swordsmen realized they could do this just for fun. proving who was the best athlete without actually gouging holes in each other. That meant less blood, but without the nicks and cuts, it was hard for judges to sort out who was scoring hits, also known as touches. So beginning in the 1930s, épées were built with little electric buttons fixed onto their tips.
Oh.
If you stab your opponent successfully on any part of the body, that buzzer goes off and you score a point. The first fencer to 15 points wins the bout. This tournament at Fort Ticonderoga is fought on grass, which is rare these days. The combats are visceral and fierce. There are plenty of bruised ribs, and as the afternoon goes on, grass stains stripe the white fencing jerseys. The final bout is fought between Zach Young, that dangerous 16-year-old, and a veteran from Montreal, Quebec, named Alain Levert. Levert's been fencing for 2 decades, and he's actually wearing a pirate scarf on his head.
Whoosh.
They dart and parry and lunge, evenly matched, going touch for touch right up to the final game point. Then Levert strikes a quick, ruthless blow.
Oh.
The fencers themselves have sort of mixed feelings about the way their sport is viewed. At this tournament, one of the prizes comes in the form of an old black and white photograph of Errol Flynn. But Vivica Fox says it's hard when people like me show up expecting all that flash and drama.
That's dance. That's not, you know, that's a choreographed thing, that stage sword play. So I think, you know, compared to that, this doesn't have that appeal, because if you don't understand the game, it can be, you know, why are those two people just kind of bouncing around and making little pokes at each other? Why don't they smack their swords together?
I found competitive fencing really fun to watch, but I can't help but think that the sport is stuck, competing with its own popularity. The athletes forever overshadowed by the actors.
You know what you're doing, I'll give you that. Excellent form. But how's your footwork?
For Only a Game, I'm Brian Mann.